Welcome to A Server's Journey with Rocky DeStefano. Rocky?
Hey, good morning, Larry. It's been a little bit, hasn't it?
It just seems like yesterday we were here.
Yeah, it does in a strange way, but it has been a little bit of an absence, you know?
Yeah.
So I like hearing your voice again in this theme song.
Well, this is Season 3, Episode 1.
Yes, and, you know, we've really took some time off to kind of figure things out a little bit. I don't know if we have yet, but I think we've got a better idea, you know, and I think our overall reason for taking a little bit of a hiatus is we felt like over 240
episodes,
plus, I think we had our 244th, we had kind of covered a lot of the basics, the foundational stuff of what servant leadership is. And so we were searching for our next direction and maybe a way, because I think what it comes down to with servant leadership is practical living.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can have all the head knowledge.
Right.
And that's good, right? But you got to have the heart knowledge and you got to have the hands. You got to, you know, and the school that I used to go to, the college I went to, that was their mantra, education of the head, the heart, and the hands. And so that is servant leadership. And so while we felt like we covered the head part, a lot of the, you know, foundation behind it and maybe the whys.
Right. A lot of the whys.
What was next for a server's journey? And so, Larry, what do you think we're going to do here?
Well, one thing is this little thing called COVID hit and kind of got everybody mixed up. And now I've talked to other podcasters.
Right.
And they're kind of in the same boat. Where right. are we going? What are we doing?
Right.
And the important thing is just to share and communicate with you who are listening right here in our air, right there in our ears, you know? So one thing I'd like to know, and I'm kind of going like back to the beginning with Rocky, where are you with this, the stuff that's happening in the world? I'm talking the real world. What's happening with you?
So
you personally.
Yeah. I mean, are you talking about with my family? And
no, just you. Well, you, the world situation. What?
Yeah. So this is a very difficult time in the history of America. I often wonder if we were in England or if we were in Australia, whether they have the general anxiety that Americans seem to be living under during a time where it's very divisive. We've got, you know, sides that are trying to pull us apart instead of unify us. So, you know, it has been a very, very weird 20 months. I think it started prior, Larry. I think it had already started creaming.
Huh.
I think if we go back, I think history will show that if we go back even to President Barack Obama's first term, that the division started, you know, maybe even before that, but specifically during that. And then it just seems like it's become more and more polarizing. So when I was growing up, you know, the common advice is we don't talk about religion or politics at the table.
Right.
But the reality is people did. And they might get a little bit upset.
They talked about it under the table, top of the table.
Yeah, but, you know, people still were able to discuss it, and there was still this commonality of America.
Right.
Like, we're Americans, and we want the best for our country. And maybe our approach to get there was different. I think right now, the approach to get to what we consider America, it has never been further apart.
You know what gets me in, and this is 1944.
Right.
Young men of the age of 17 to 25 went to war to fight for this country, and gave up their lives.
Right.
Today, 17 to 25-year-olds are protesting on the streets.
Right.
I do not understand that.
Yeah. Well, and I think what it is, too, and, you know, this is a hard concept because the angst and the anger that this young generation feels is real. Like, in their mind, it is real. And they're angry. And I think where we struggle is we don't know what they have to be angry about.
Right.
So we get offended. Anybody in their 40s, 50s, we're like, what the hell, excuse my French, are you angry about? I mean, we have the best, living. We have relative safety, access to good medical care. Like, there's all these positives.
The poorest person in the United States is probably one of the richest in other countries.
Right. And yet, the younger generation, what they're saying is, but that's not enough.
That's not good enough.
Yeah. And what they're, and so, it's hard because I think if we're not careful, we get offended. But if you listen to them, I was talking to one of my leaders yesterday, and one of my favorite verses in the Bible says, as it is up to me, this is, of course, a paraphrase.
Yeah.
As it is up to me, I will live at peace with my neighbors, which means that everything I can't control everything, but whatever I can control, I'm going to do because I want to seek peace with my neighbors. And so we were talking about that because we were talking about the issue of culture. And, during COVID, a lot of us have taken hits to our culture. And it's just been a very, wrapped up in all the angst and the insecurity and the anxieties of a nation during a pandemic, people losing things, whether it was careers or loved ones or vacation, whatever they lost.
Yeah, and being quarantined.
Being quarantined,
yeah.
Being fearful. In the midst of all that, we have now the great labor shortage is what they're calling it, or the mass exodus. All this built together, a lot of places have lost some culture. And we were looking at ours and saying, as we need to apply this verse to our team. So first of all, we need to ask our team, when we say we want to care about you, what does care mean to you? And I this is the analogy I used. If I'm dying from cancer, that's what I want to be cured from, right? That's the emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And if well-meaning people around me or my organization, they care about me and they're helping me cure diabetes.
Cancer.
Yeah. It doesn't, diabetes.
Oh.
And so they're curing me of diabetes because they read that as the issue, and I don't feel cared for because my issue is different. I was telling this person, we need to figure out how they want to be cared for, and then we need to administer care that way. So, and we do that so that we can live at peace with our neighbor. So everything we can control within our staff, we do. Now, some people will still be upset or unhappy or angry, and those people you might never satisfy, and we've talked about maybe those are the people you have to turn over. But as much as I can, the things that I can control, I have to control. And so what I said is, we have to figure out what they think care is, and we have to do it, even if we think it doesn't make sense. And this is, I think, what we as a society, Larry, we think that the things that they're saying they struggle with are ridiculous. We think you don't understand how lucky you are, but it doesn't matter. We need to ask them why? And then we need to, as much as we can, try to understand, empathize, have compassion for them. And maybe that'll be the way that we can educate, hey, some things are bad, but other things are not. And overall, things are very good. Because to them, this is akin to what it felt like to send your son or daughter off to war in World War II or Korea or Vietnam. This is their battle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not at war. But we are, and their war fronts are the environment. Are we going to have enough drinking water? Are we sustainable enough in our, and they feel these things just like an air raid when you were in school in you know, the 50s during the Cold War. Mm-hmm. So does that make sense?
Wow, that is very deep. That is very, very deep.
I'm struggling with, because I feel I want to go to Suck It Up, Buttercup, a very boomer thing to say. Mm-hmm. I just want to go there. But they really, Larry, they really feel this stuff.
Now, okay, so one, you've really answered a lot of what I was wanting to talk about. Rocky, 3 years ago when we started the podcast, you were worried about opening a second store.
Yes.
Now, so what's happening with you and two stores? You personally, what's happening? How's that gone?
Yeah, so...
being the servant leader.
So, you know, I think being a servant leader has changed dramatically over the last...
Did you expect that?
No, I think, you know, when we opened up in 2019, we weren't really expecting, okay, in a year, we're going to be in the midst of a major pandemic.
Right.
And in a year and a half, we're going to start all of a sudden hearing about how the great exit from the workplace was going to take place. Like, nobody was talking. Now, there's revisionist history. Now you can go and say, well, look, of course this was going to happen. You can read article after article about that, but we really weren't thinking. I was just thinking, how do I open a store? Am I going to be spread too thin? Am I going to be able to meet the demands of 200 and something people? And all of those are true. And I'm worried about, what if we get a COVID outbreak and it affects 20 people? And how am I going to keep my staff or hire more?
Yeah, but 3 years ago when we were talking about starting with two stores, you weren't thinking about that.
No, I was just thinking about, how do I open up and do I not spread myself too thin?
And were you thinking about, how can I staff two stores?
Yes, absolutely.
How did that work?
Yeah, it was great. We were able to do it. We've had some bumps and bruises for sure. I think we made some mistakes. We moved too much of a certain kind of leader to the new store. And then we had to adjust really quickly within the first 6 months and move that type of leader. Because what we moved was a lot of strategical thinkers and a lot of system builders to the new store, thinking, well, our systems at the old store are good, mm-hmm. and they'll be able to run on their own. So let's build the systems in the new store. And then what we realized is, within 6 months, some of the systems were breaking down, so we had to move some of those thinkers back. So we've learned, you know, it's definitely been a learning curve.
Two stores, yep. Not far apart.
No.
Totally different environments?
Somewhat. I think you get more of an older staff at one, more of a business lunch, you know, mm-hmm. that lunchtime crowd. The other store, you get a lot more senior citizens. We have a lot younger staff, and we get busier in the evenings. Hmm. So, you know, very different.
Very different. Yeah. Okay, so now you're doing fine with two stores, right? Now you've leveled out. You've come to a what? How did you?
Yeah, I think a lot of people struggled greatly during COVID. And so I don't mean to minimize this. Chick-fil-A came out very strong because of the infrastructure that our corporate office had built. They had gone to things like mobile a lot earlier than other companies.
And what is mobile?
So the ability that, you know, you don't need a physical cash register, that your phone is a cash register and you can order from anywhere and we can figure out a way to get you that food. And it was a new, you know, Orlando, we kind of, we were the first to the game within Chick-fil-A, and I think it was 2014, and we kind of thought it was silly, to be honest with you, and we were wrong, and the corporate office was right. And so because we had a lot of data on how to do it, it not only sustained us, but allowed us to thrive.
So during the pandemic. Think they were thinking that far ahead, or is this just it happened?
I think that in any good decision, there's a bit of random luck, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think that there were some IT people that were securing their jobs by presenting a problem that might be, right?
Yeah.
But I think that there's a lot of grace and providence, and I do think it probably saved Chick-fil-A.
So you have two stores now.
Yes.
You've gotten into two stores. Things are kind of going good, and all of a sudden, this thing called the pandemic hit. Right. And what happened to the two stores right away? How did you make that transition so easily? I know you had the mobile, but
what? Yeah. So I think that what happened is, February of 2020, we start realizing, okay, maybe there's something here. Maybe this isn't just a cold that's going to go away.
Right.
And then March, I think it was March 14th, Orlando shuts everything down and basically says, so for a while, we're not sure, are we allowed to even stay open or do we have to shut? People were being quarantined. We were nervous because how do you keep 220 people employed?
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to a modified dining room closed and only doing drive-through.
Now, you'd had experience with just drive-through before, right?
Yeah, I did. We had an experience at my very first restaurant was a drive-through only. And we then, as we kind of went through, but that March and that April and that May of 2020 were incredibly scary for most businesses. And definitely we were way down in sales, way down in transactions, trying to keep our staff, then you had to marry the loss in sales to the fact that some parents didn't want their kids to work because they were concerned about getting sick. So it was a weird, weird time. And then, ever since then, we've kind of modified. We've pivoted very quickly. We put a much bigger mobile presence into place. Our mobile sales have grown probably 80 to 90% since that time.
And that means people are ordering on their phone?
Yeah, sitting in their cars, and we're running the orders out to them, and
with that friendly smile.
Yes. Well, sometimes you're a sweaty smile is what I say, because depending on the temperature, you can, in about an hour to 2 hours, you can walk about 2.9 miles walking orders out. So.
Wow. And I understand you've done that.
I did it, I think, last Thursday and then again yesterday for about an hour. And I will say this, I like those days because I get my steps in.
Yeah.
I always hit my step goal.
Uh-huh.
But it's tough and it's hard because if you're doing that for a 7 hour shift, you're probably getting 13,000 to 20,000 steps.
Wow.
So, you're walking 9 miles. You're definitely not.
I may have to sign up for Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. Sunday, you want to come run orders?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We can do that, Larry.
Okay. Okay. That was an inside joke there. Yeah. You got to understand that.
Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays.
Thank you. Okay. What about your family life? What's happening with you and your family? I mean, you've got three daughters.
Yeah, we did.
You got a beautiful wife.
I do. Yes. A very beautiful, very opinionated, strong-willed woman that I married. She is doing wonderful. We are getting used to empty nest. And so our oldest daughter got married right before the second store opened.
Right.
And she and her husband are actually getting ready in January to go on the road for they're going to become Chick-fil-A owner operators.
Oh, my goodness.
So they'll be, who knows, they could be anywhere for the next 2 years, 2.5 years.
Now with Chick-fil-A going across the country, I mean, when you started, you were just like in the South.
That's really it, yeah. And now we have stores in Canada and looking at Puerto Rico and Singapore and other places.
Wow.
So who knows where they'll be. We, our middle daughter has graduated college and actually is in Rochester at her master's program. So she is very far away. And then our youngest daughter is attending Savannah College of Art and Design. And so Trish and I are figuring it out.
Empty nester.
Yeah, and we're figuring it out. And we thought we would be traveling more. And then the pandemic hit. And then you're like, why would I travel somewhere where I can't
go
see anything and nothing's open? And, so we're trying to figure it out. But we're doing well. We're healthy. Larry, how about you? I have to turn this back on you. How about you? Because I've been trying to get you married for several years here.
Yeah, well,
Larry's a very, should we put your number up? Very eligible bachelor, good looking, a healthy, vibrant, you know, and he deserves some companionship.
Oh.
So, you know.
Larry's face is turning red. Yeah, you know? Yeah. This isn't called a server's journey with Larry. It's called.
No, it Larry's part of it. Oh. You know, so.
Well, what do I, you've named everything. What else can I say?
Yes, yes.
Area code 352.
Yes, we continue to look for the right person for Larry, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I have met someone, but we don't know if we need to talk about that.
So. No, it's too early.
Too early.
But it's promising.
Yes.
Which, you know, we like. We like to see. I like seeing Larry smile. I can normally tell if there's someone special in his life or not. So, you know, everybody needs, you know, a partner in crime, right?
Everybody needs somebody to look.
Yeah, is it sometime?
Yeah, sometime, yeah.
Okay. That's why we're not singers, so.
So I think we've kind of covered it. How about your spiritual life? How are you doing there?
Yeah, this has been a tough season for everybody. You know, a lot of churches were shut down for a while, and so you're watching online. And when you're watching online, it's much easier to lose focus. Worship seems different because it's not corporate with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's hard to just sing when it's you and your wife on the couch. You know, you're not going to clap. So I think a lot of Christians, and myself included, kind of went through a weird period where we were just kind of feeling a little bit lost. Our church had a great challenge this year, and it was based on the verse of not only being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And most people focus on the verb, the action, the do. And I think Brian has tried to really focus on the hear. So you can't do unless you hear, and you can't hear unless you read. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of brought us through a year-long read and understand the Bible. So that was my challenge in 2021, was to read through the Bible in a year. I could lie to you and say I've done it. I haven't, and if I'm being honest, about 25 readings
behind.
Yeah, so yeah. I probably won't. For me, it'll be like the end of January, maybe I'll finish, but for me, that's good because I've never been as consistent as I should be reading.
For me, I picked that app and I started that. And
oh, did you really? So what app are you doing?
Well, right? The Bible. Yeah. I think it's called the Bible. But
is that the one who the guy who does Darth Vader the voice?
No.
Okay, because I hear he does a pretty good reading.
Oh, really?
What was his name?
Well. The month, I think it was August, is when I picked it up, where you do it, you know, reading a day and things like that. I got Chronicles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which was like, why am I listening to this?
Yeah. There are some aspects of the Old Testament where you're like, oh my gosh, this is terrible.
But there again, you know, that you're supposed to see that the God was presenting a Savior coming.
Right.
And it's all in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament says it's here, which was verified by the Old Testament. Right.
We were reading through part of Isaiah the other day, and there was the scripture, I think it's in the 20s, where basically it's a prophecy of Christ,
mm-hmm.
but it's like 1,000 years before.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah. And so if we're talking this way, I listened to Lutzer from the Moody Bible Church in Chicago. After I'm leaving church, I listen to him.
Yeah.
And he did a sermon called The Drama of Redemption, and it's a walk through the Bible, which I got really interested in, and I sent for it, and he's got this great chart that shows you step by step.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's a nice little series because it just kind of breaks it down. And I was kind of excited to hear him explain what I was going through.
Right. Right. So now, and you've also kind of picked up and been watching The Chosen. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
So tell, what's your overall thought about that?
It's brought the Bible, not the Bible, it's brought Christ redemption to life in a way that it's not Hollywood done. It's so well done. Have you watched that?
So
you didn't get to see it.
No, yet. you gave me the second season.
Yeah.
But Trish and I were talking. We're like, well, we really want to watch season one first, so we're going to have to download the app. And
it's not that hard, sir. It's not that hard. Well, you can do it. If I need to find something I can read to you just real quick. It's about, I just cannot believe when we're talking to scripture and something is mentioned, it just comes alive. You can see it. There's two incidents. Episode one is just breaks your heart. And another one was called When I Saw I See You. And if you know The Chosen, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, and I hear the music is just out of this world, too.
Yes. The fun thing is, it's not the old, right. It's really, The Chosen is the first multimedia season of TV show about the life of Jesus. Created outside of the Hollywood system, Chosen allows us to see him through the eyes of those who knew him.
So is that the reason why it's not readily available, like a little bit harder to find? Is because you have to, because it's made outside of Hollywood, so it doesn't show up on the regular channel.
Right, because there's no Hollywood money in it.
Really?
It's all self-supported.
So are there any actors or actresses that we would know? Like, do you recognize people? Or
there's one. It was played by Nicodemus in the very first season, and that's about the only person you would recognize, Suddenly you know these people.
Right.
You said something just a moment ago. Bummer.
I messed you up.
But no, getting the Chosen. When it first started, they had like a couple episodes in the can, and they were going to put it on YouTube or wherever and make pay for it. You know, you had to, it was like a pay service.
Right.
Well, COVID hit, and they said, let's give it away.
Yeah.
Let's not charge. Their donations quadrupled or massively went up, and now they're into making season three. So
have they come to the actual crucifixion yet?
No. There's going to be, they've got it plotted. There's seven seasons.
Oh, wow. So this is a long running season.
Yeah. Well,
I've heard so many good, and I've heard a lot of good things from people that don't, like people that are not even Christians.
Right.
Which is, pretty special. But I do think the story, whether or not you're a Christian, a lot of the stories in the Bible are tremendously impactful, very applicable to, our everyday life.
Yeah, they say that they give a little back. I mean, they know they're not word for word using scripture.
Right.
But they're giving some background in the way people lived is just amazing.
Right.
You can see that. You said it's hard to find. It's not hard to find.
No, you
go to the app store, The Chosen, download, it's free. Then you
can cast it onto your television and watch
anywhere. Anywhere, yeah.
So I've just been lazy is pretty much
what that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So. Yeah, well, we started watching a different show, and so we were trying to get through that season,
Yes. So look at this. Shame on you. No.
I know.
And you know what I do? It's on my phone. Okay.
Oh, so you can watch it even on your phone.
You can watch it on your phone. Sometimes when I go to bed at night, I'll pull up part of a season that I know what I want to watch.
Yeah.
It's meaningful.
And it's comforting. And I think in today's society, we kind of all need a little bit of comfort sometimes.
Yeah.
So how about you, Larry? What did you feel spiritually like while in the midst of this pandemic? Like, what did it do to your, physical or spiritual life?
My pastor said, we're all going to die sometime.
Yes, we're all going to die.
And you got to roll with it. I had it in Iowa, several months ago.
Right.
You know, right. Thank goodness I did have the two shots, and I guess I didn't have it that bad.
So you're not an anti-vaccine person?
I'm just anti. I'm anti Force. The government telling me I got to do it.
Yeah.
That's all. Because I had polio vaccine back in the, that was way before you were born. You know, so those things can happen, but.
You know, I lost my best friend to COVID.
No.
And he had not gotten the vaccine, and he caught COVID, and he went really quick. He went within about, he really went within a week.
Wow.
And that was his choice. And so I can be mad at him for not getting the vaccine. And, you know, in fact, when he was alive, we were kind of yelling at him and said, hey, we think you should consider it. You know, he was overweight. He was 56. So we're like, you know, you should consider
it. He was young.
He is young, but, you know, not as young as 20.
Yeah.
You know? But that was his choice. And that's what I've always believed in, that we have the right to choose as Americans. And so I think I kind of tend to be you. The vaccine is a personal choice, and you get to choose if you want to partake or not.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Hey, you know, we're talking here, and I think if you who are listening, if you would like to hear something or talk about something, you know, Rocky, what is your phone number? Can you give out your phone number?
So, yeah, this is Larry's idea. So if it goes really bad, if it shows up on a bunch of bathroom stalls, then I'll have Larry to blame. But I am open to conversations or questions. In fact, you know, we really want to figure out what's next for this season of the show. And I think we are going to merge into more conversations, and we may, you know, sometimes bring people that we think are experts or people that we admire and how they live their life and live out a servant journey.
Right. Living out. That's
So we're going to try to focus more on those things, on the practical side of it.
And if you think you're not living it, maybe we need to talk about that.
Right.
Maybe you could call us. And,
Well, and I'm open, and Larry's open to, we would love to know what you guys, you know, we don't have a huge fan base, but we have a really solid core. And so we are open. Yeah. We appreciate you guys. In fact, honestly, a lot of times I'm going through recognized names, and I'll, you know, say a prayer for you, or, you know, send good thoughts. But if you guys would like to talk or would like to share or have a direction you think that we should go in, maybe a question that you're struggling with, we would love to interact with you. And so, you know, my phone number is 407-247-9348. And I'm available by phone or by text. I am a better texter. I think everybody knows that.
So maybe text would be a good idea.
Well, either way, whatever fits into your schedule better. Sometimes I will get your call and have to text just to say, hey, I got it. I'll give you a call when I'm free. But, you know, I would love to engage. I got a chance to sit down and speak with one of our Patreon supporters, and we had about a 2-hour conversation just catching up and understanding his life, and it's much different than my life. And, you know, he runs a development company and an organic, kind of an organic farm, a family trust that, you know, he's got a lot of pressures, and are different pressures than mine, but we had a great conversation around what it looked like and some of the things he struggles with and some of the things I struggle with. So we would really love the interaction with you guys.
The number again is 407-247-9348.
That is correct, Larry, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that is so, correct. So many times I hear someone give a phone number, or the nurse calls from the hospital and says, my number is blah, 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 and you know, what?
Well, and again, and if you're shy and you want to text, just text me and we can engage that way, because we, you know, this is a journey, and we all struggle, and I, you know, we all need to be, you know, we just all need somebody to talk to sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes, especially if you are in business and you're unsure of exactly what's going on, sometimes it's good just to have somebody to vent to, or somebody to commiserate with, or to share ideas with.
And this is a one-on-one conversation here. No one else will hear it.
No, I may patch in Larry for a three-way call, but
yeah,
because Larry has a lot of he's much more commonsensical than me. I think Larry lives in the real world better than I do.
Wow.
So
that's because I'm here in the studio.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, sometimes I'm in theory, and then you go into the store and you end up having to run orders because you're short staff that day. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, this isn't, you know, working the way I tell people it does. And that is the reality. Like sometimes you're going to feel like you're running a business and things are fantastic. And sometimes you're going to feel like the business is running you and everything is going wrong.
Wow.
And that is just the reality of 2021, 2020. And I believe 2022 is going to be another very interesting year.
Wow. It's certainly going to be. We want to hear from you.
Yes, we do.
We want to hear from you. So until the next time, we're not quite sure when the next time is,
yes,
but we will be posting it so you can look out for us.
Yeah, and do us a favor, guys, if you can, like and subscribe. Please leave us comments about our show. And if you could, just to kind of reboot this, push this out there and on your social media, share.